Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Welcome to Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. Cracking the code and overcoming your nighttime eating. It's imperative. And understanding what you do at night with your behaviors, patterns, thoughts, and emotions can all help you vanish those nighttime eating patterns. Keep listening, keep coming back, and keep overcoming.
Hey, everybody. It's Wendy. I am so excited today to talk about nighttime eating. Now, why am I excited about this? Well, because it's something I've heard in my practice for so many years. And it started with one of my very first clients who came in and talked about what the evening was like for her. Multiple preludes of, you know, am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? I shouldn't eat. Oh, I ate and I'm going to have this to snack on and I'm a little bit hungry over here. And her night would go forth from dinner until bedtime just like that. Ate dinner and then she said it began. So very early on, I recognized that the nighttime was one of the more difficult times for people when it comes to overeating. Is the nighttime really the right time to eat and overeat? Well, we know no, right? We know that what happens at night because of the darkness, because of the vulnerability, because of the increased emotionality, it is way more of a difficult time to contain our eating. And by the end of the podcast today, I want you all to really see the real reasons behind nighttime eating and research behind why it exists. And then I'm going to help you understand how to overcome and stop it. In America, we know that we eat more during our dinner than in any other meal. And this has been proven even by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's researcher, Shanthi Bowman. She's a PhD. And we know that as we go through the day, our eating consumption at each meal increases. It's especially true for all of us, but absolutely for those of us who might struggle with weight. It also, this researcher, Shanthi Bowman, also found that adults tended to eat slightly more food, calories, and nutrients than normal weight adults at dinner time. And so we're seeing these discrepancies that as the day goes on, right, research is proving what I've seen anecdotally and what you may have seen anecdotally for yourself as well. One, as the day goes on, we eat more at meals. And two, that specifically speaking, as the day goes on and we eat more during those evening meals, that our calorie, nutrition, fat intake increases radically. John DeCastro is also a PhD, and he has a number of scientific studies that he's done around nighttime eating. We know that snacking at night is the number two position over snacking in the afternoon. I did a podcast on that previously, and if you haven't listened to it, check it out. But we know that this nighttime eating and snacking is definitely a problem. And John DeCastro has proven that as well in a number of different studies. He's done research into meal sizes and meal patterns and calorie distribution. He's turned up some interesting findings about evening eating. Meal size tends to increase over the day. We know that, with peaks at lunch and at dinner. One of his studies actually showed that participants ate 42% of their total intake during and after dinner, so throughout the evening time. Our evening food intake tends to be relatively higher in fat compared to the other meals earlier in the day. Many, many of my clients I've worked with will tend to just grab something quick or maybe not even eat breakfast at all and just have a cup of coffee out the door, have something very small at lunch, whatever they can grab at work. And then by the time dinner rolls around and they come through the door at 5 or 6 o'clock, they're ravenous, right? And so that's where we see this tendency that the research is proving what I've seen, at least in my practice, and maybe what you have seen and or can understand or relate to in your life. The longer the gap between dinner and the previous meal or snack, the larger the dinner. Now, why that's so interesting is because the gap between meals during other times of the day doesn't equate for the size. It's only for dinner. So that's really intriguing to me, is if there's 6 hours between breakfast and lunch, and there's normally only four, the lunch doesn't tend to increase in size. But if there's 6 hours between lunch and dinner, and there's normally four, dinner tends to increase radically in size. So that's pretty interesting as to what our evening, what we feel like our evening tends to look for. There's not as many boundaries or constraints around our dinner time meal or our evening eating. People who eat lightly at night, we know, tend to end up eating fewer calories and grams of fat overall. And so what John DeCastro is just showing there in his research is that people that eat lighter or less at night tend to go through their evening with eating less. And then the people that go the converse, right, tend to wind up eating more, which is what we would have expected to happen. Just some interesting research by John DeCastro, kind of proving what I've seen in my practice. So why does eating happen more at night? As I mentioned just a minute ago, you know, we tend to have less boundaries at night and time constraints. For many of us, it, you know, that might come home from work and then the evening kind of happens as to our own accord. Unless you're running around with children, if you're just coming home from work and you've got that evening stretched out before you, so to speak, there isn't a lot of boundaries of what I have to do here and here and here. At some point, that stops, and there's kind of a dead time, a time where you can do whatever you want to do, right? So that's one thing we know happens at night. We also know that there's more emotion at the end of the day, more stress or boredom or loneliness or depression, and more intense emotion because we've been through an entire day, and we have lots of stimulation put into our system. And so there's a lot more emotion as we're into our evening time. We also know that as the sun sets, we become more vulnerable, more emotional, more tired. We believe that there's a primal link around this, that this goes back to age-old time where at night, actually, we didn't have artificial light. We may have had to go by fire, maybe be more worried about animals and things of that nature. And the night for many people brings on a feeling of unsafety, even though it may not be much different than when it's light to dark, but the feeling of unsafety is much more prevalent at night. Couple this with any kind of trauma and the amount of stress and feeling of unsafety and uncertainty escalates radically. We also know that at night, there's more likely to be what we call a coupled behavior pattern or an overcoupled behavior pattern. So it might be that you eat food and watch TV. When you're eating at work, you might be eating in a lunchroom or eating at your desk and having to continue to work, which I don't agree with. We'll talk about that another time. But eating food and watching TV, sitting in a certain place in your house and eating or snacking, those behavior patterns become coupled. It's more likely to happen at night than any other time during the day. We also know, and as I mentioned before, that undereating can tend to happen throughout the day, right? So undereating all day long can absolutely increase your hunger patterns throughout the evening. And that is why you would begin to continue eating and may not be able to stop at night. So undereating during the day can absolutely exacerbate nighttime eating. And for some people, the belief that I need to get to sleep or I need food to go to sleep, I don't want to wake up hungry, can really move people into a bit of anxiety and make them reach for food in order to quell that. That can be a trauma-based belief pattern, which I won't get into, or it can be part of what's called night eating syndrome. Night eating syndrome was actually diagnosed in 1955, I believe anything was written about it. And I'm just going to highlight a bit about it here, but you can Google night eating syndrome. And the definition of night eating syndrome is having three of these five associated symptoms that must also be present, right? So lack of appetite in the morning, urges to eat at night, a belief that one must eat in order to fall back asleep at night, a depressed mood throughout the day and the evening, and or difficulty sleeping. You have to have three out of five to really have night eating syndrome. There are reasons for all of those things and why they can happen. And I've worked with many, many clients around those things, not necessarily diagnosing it as night eating syndrome, but working with the symptoms and helping them understand, identify, and overcome those so that they could actually not move into their patterns in the evening. But I wanted to just highlight that because not many people know about night eating syndrome and it actually exists. So you can Google that and understand a little bit more about that as you move forward. But those are all the reasons why eating in the evening is more prevalent and more prominent. Now, what do we do with that, right? If we know it exists, we know it happens. What I had to do way back when is I had to really sit down and say, okay, what are some things we can try to figure out how to help this individual not eat at night or to reconfigure their eating, not eat as much, change their behavior patterns? Obviously, if you're hungry, you need to fill your body, right, with food. But a lot of these things I'm talking about when it comes to night eating is not about that. Could be about a couple behavior pattern. Right, could be about under eating all day, which is physiological. Could be about the belief I need to get to sleep, which can be emotional and belief oriented. Could be emotionality from the day. All of that is not what is not physical hunger. And so what you first want to do is figure out why your night eating is happening. Is there a physiological reason? Have you under eaten during the day? If you know that to be true for your pattern, experiment by eating more during the day. And so many of my clients have been like, no, because if I eat more during the day and I eat at night, I'm going to gain even more weight. And I totally understand that. I really understand the fear. But if you don't face and confront that, you're never going to get over it and change any pattern. So try it as an experiment. Just 3 days. Eat a good solid breakfast, some protein, some fiber, some fat, could be a spinach omelet with some fruit on the side and maybe a piece of Ezekiel toast, right? And then have a good solid lunch, a great dinner with lots of nutrition in it. And see what happens if you eat enough during the day, what happens at night. Do that experiment 3 days in a row. Nothing can change so radically in 3 days that you can't undo it. Try it and see what happens. And then you can determine if it's a physiological reason. Secondarily, you can look to see if there's an environmental trigger. Is there a chair you sit in? Is there a show you watch every night? A time of night you begin eating? Change the trigger and see what happens. Can you move your chair around? Can you sit in a different chair at night? Instead of sitting in a plush, comfy chair that you snuggle into with a bowl of chips, can you sit in a different chair? Again, these are experiments to try. Can you sit in a different chair? Can you sit in a different place in your living room? Can you move that chair out? Can you not sit on the couch but in the chair if you always eat in the chair in the couch, right? So get a sense of if there's an environmental trigger, can you change that trigger and see if it changes your eating? Is there an emotional trigger? I mentioned that earlier. One of the reasons why people overeat at night is because emotions have been coming into your body and your mind all day long. Stress, anger, anxiety, fear, worry. Getting a sense of how you're feeling emotionally throughout the evening, even if you have to set a timer on your clock every hour, and ask yourself how you're feeling. Get a sense of what's coming up for you. And if you're in a high energy emotion like anger, anxiety, stress, fear, movement helps with that. Could be dancing around your house, could be cleaning your house, could be going outside for a 10-minute walk. But going from that high energy emotion to relaxing in the couch doesn't happen. We all have to come down. So from high energy to medium energy to low energy, it's imperative that you do that. So if you're in that high energy emotion, give yourself some time to come down from that, right? Clean your house, go out for a walk, meet a friend to go and garden together. Get that energy out of your body. If you're emotional in the evening and it's more of a low energy emotion like sadness or loneliness or boredom, somber creative activities can help move that emotion into some creative outlet. So it could be painting. It could be knitting or sewing. It could be changing around your living room. And could be painting a wall in your kitchen. But emotion like sadness, loneliness, boredom, feeling of emptiness, those can use creative outlets to help you really sustain through them as they move through you without turning to food. An emotion that I look in a different subset is tiredness. Tiredness can be an emotional trigger of sorts, but it also combines a physical trigger. So if you're tired at night, go to bed. I've heard from so many clients, oh, I just wanted to stay up a little bit later or watch another show. And that's when they wind up reaching for the food. Our body knows that food, specifically foods with sugar, can bring us up, right? They give us a little bit of boost of energy, right? Albeit false energy, but there is that energy, and our brain and body begin to couple that. If you're tired, let your body rest. Don't force it to stay up. When you go against your body like that, it will inadvertently create a craving so that you will, in fact, stay awake. So recognize if you're really tired. And remember to balance your dinner at night. Protein, fat, fiber, fruits. Making sure you have a good planned dinner, because if you come home and you're only eating a small amount of something, the reality is you have no choice but to be really hungry. So get that good balanced dinner in, because that will help with the physiological component. Once you figure out why you're eating at night, it's easy to find your way around it, through it, and over it, so you can still continue to become an overcomer. Thank you all for joining me. Use some of these things today. Move into action so you continue to become not what you had become, but what you want to become in your journey and venture to become an overcomer. Thanks all. Have a beautiful day. Hear you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.